10% canopy cover goal as outlined in the Urban Forest Implementation Plan, planting trees alone will not achieve that goal. Not only should we plant trees, but we must also preserve and protect to a reasonable level and to the best of our ability all those big old trees that also make up a great percentage of our current cover. These propositions are not mutually exclusive and complement one another to reach the canopy goal. We applaud the city's efforts to plant more trees, and we do need more, but we also need to preserve existing trees on private property and not just on street right-of-ways. In doing so, we continue to recognize the many environmental, economic, and social values provided to us by trees. Let's see, I'm going to skip over that. Regulation and enforcement are necessary to protect the assets of the greater Portland community, and that as a last resort, mitigation in the general proximity of tree removal is necessary. Mitigation requirements must be structured so that the value of the tree removed is taken into consideration and that mitigation funds be directed to a specific, discrete fund to be used to plant trees or to help enforce regulation. Absent this, there will continue to be a lack of transparency and accountability. Friends of Trees truly appreciate city efforts on this topic and strongly encourages this opportunity to implement equitable, fair, and strengthened uniform code regulating trees in the urban setting. The first step needs to be preservation of big, older trees to keep our canopy growing, which is consistent with several regional plans and supports continued investment in our urban forest assets. In closing, we support the proposed code changes and encourage funding the program to implement them. Thank you for your time and effort on the issue.
Thank you very much. Greg?
Hello, I'm Greg Shifsky. Mayor Hales, welcome. And commissioners all. I was one of, I think, many residents in Southwest Portland that did sort of kick things off about this whole tree issue thing. We were not alone because at the same time we discovered all around this city, coalitions, people in coalitions everywhere thought the same thing. They were losing these big giant fir trees, which you allude to, that would, let's say this would represent one of those guys. I know you like my little tree models. I didn't bring them. In the beginning, the history of this is what I've been asked to present, and Roberta Jortner has laid out, a great history. Some of the names that are worth mentioning are Amanda herself, convening a committee, Bonnie McKnight, Southwest community members from all over this city, myself, Margo Barnett especially, John Gibbons, and Leonard Gard. Trees, what are they? They're biology. What are we? We're biology. We take four things. We like good food, we like good clean air, water, and a safe, cultural, pleasant place to live. So do trees. They're no different than that. So we got to take care of them. A great deal of research and learning has been taking place all along the way since 2005 when we first started this effort to bring this tree policy forward, and I do wholeheartedly support the budget for it. Every 10 years or so, every decade, new things are learned about trees, and isotopes are one thing that trees do to talk to each other. They release them. They can tell when they're under attack by insects. We know that they maintain watersheds better than if they weren't there. So it's critically important that we have them. I was interested in these big trees long ago. I've been working in the landscape industry for 40 years or so. I'm retired. I watched these big guys fall down. Now the city will replace them with little guys like this. And in, say, in 20 years, maybe they'll grow up to be this tall, depending on the species. If you leave this big guy in place, the value that it's providing today is incredible. In 20 years, it's going to add another big, giant value to us. And we are a region. We are in one of the most beautiful places on the entire world. And if you think of it in terms of Portland being in this region, we shed water to the Willamette, to the Columbia, to the ocean. Fish run back and forth. We're species. Other species live here. Species we can't even see, only except under a microscope. We got to take care of them. So that's why I'm really in favor of this new tree policy, which does simplify things for people like myself, and I'm a homeowner, and other neighbors and developers. And I am thankful that the developers actually came along to that stakeholder meeting for that 18-month period that BDS convened, because they provided some, you know, good information, because they got their feet on the ground. They know what's going on right then and there. So it, there's all kinds of energy and thousands of hours of labor that went into this tree policy. And it would be really nice if you guys lived up to the word sustainability and kept our trees, especially in support of these big guys that we have all around.
Thank you very much. And that's actually a nice segue. We have, I have one more person I'd like to invite up, and that's Justin Wood of the Home Builders Association, who I didn't ask previously, but the Home Builders Association was a remarkable partner as we were developing the policy and since, and so I want to give Justin the opportunity to give their perspective.
Justin, are you here with your father-in-law?
I am. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Justin Wood. I'm with the Portland Home Builders Association, but I'm also an infill builder here in Portland. Let me start out by saying that I, along with several of our members, have been involved for several years in the formation of this code. I do believe that the current rules and regulations in regards to development are spread across different bureaus, code books, and zoning regulations. Both new home construction and land divisions are subject to confusion and lack of flexibility. This current tree code does a good job of consolidating the process and providing a single source and point of contacts for issues related to trees. I feel staff and the stakeholders involved came to a good compromise on many of the issues that this code wasn't, and this code that was developed at the end of the day is one that is fair and we all can live with. It does ask private homeowners to give consideration to tree preservation, just as it asks of builders and developers. Is this code perfect? No. I think we all need to go into it treating this code almost as a pilot program. Council and staff need to realize that we may find issues and imperfections with this code and have the willingness and flexibility to adjust the code as the need arises. The issue that I wanted to bring up today is the one of the budget and implementation. For a code that's goal was to streamline the process, the cost, and the level of complexity with which the implication is proposed is concerning. The initial proposals from staff when we were evaluating the tree code estimated a need for 5.5 full-time employees at an approximate cost of approximately $350,000. The proposed budget is asking for 8.5 full-time employees at an approximate cost of somewhere in the neighborhood of $830,000. Not only is there an increase of 3 employees, but the increase per cost per employee is more than 50%. I understand from staff that this cost per employee in the initial review was incomplete and did not consider all costs like cars and rent and various other things, but I do question the need for the 3 additional employees. I would also contend, for example, that we do not need 2 full-time inspectors. As you pointed out earlier, Mayor, currently BDS inspectors conduct general planting requirements now, and while we may need a designated inspector for more complicated preservation requirements, I would argue that most people can count if there's 5 trees on a site. Regarding fees, when this code was drafted, the estimated cost for a building permit was to be approximately $60. That fee has now grown to a $75 fee for plan review, which is reasonably close, plus a $95 inspection fee for tree plantings, plus another $95 if you preserved a tree, and that needs to be inspected. So what was once thought to be a $60 fee would now be $265 if you built a house and preserved a tree, with an increase of over 400%. I don't want this code to be thrown out and for us to all start this process over again, but I do ask council to ask staff to reconsider their staffing needs, the proposed costs, and to please bear in mind that this code may not be perfect and be flexible as the need arises. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Okay. Is that all your invited testimony?
It is. Okay. So if you could go to the sign-up sheet, thank you.
Carla, how many people signed up?
We have 7 people left. The first 3, please come on up, are John Gibbon, Arlene Kimura, and Dave Warrington.
Mr. Warrington, you here? Okay, why don't you call the next person?
Let's go with Brian Birch. And they'll be followed by Jeff Fish, C. Masiochi, and Barbara Quinn.
Mr. Mayor, my name is John Gibbon. I'm going to give some remarks from Sweeney and then a few of my own. And I will ask the council's indulgence. I'll stay and ask questions, but I had a 4:30 PERB meeting, and I'm not sure that I'm not part of the quorum, so if as soon as I can leave, I'd appreciate the opportunity to go. First, the remarks from Sweeney. Ms. Fitzgerald left her written remarks, but I just want to read over them. The Sweeney Board met briefly last night and discussed the proposal, or I'm sorry, met last night and briefly discussed the proposal before you today. Sweeney has supported the strengthened tree policy in the past. We have been concerned about the loss of trees due to infill development over the years and initiated the discussions that led to the citywide tree program adopted in 2011. Every tree that is removed impacts our neighborhood's sense of livability. New developments, especially in areas with large treed lots that result in fewer trees and more impervious surface, negatively impact stormwater management in the most stormwater-constrained area in the city. We also need the city's technical assistance, such as when we're dealing with downed trees during wind and ice storms and other natural disasters. However, what was heard from the board last night were concerns over the cost of the program and the bureaucracy to run it. We have not reviewed the implementation plan in detail, and I can't provide specifics today other than the Sweeney Board's request to keep any fees to individual homeowners as low as possible. It's important to maintain strict requirements for new development and have developers pay fees to support the program, but please keep the costs low when no development is proposed. And, of course, just having heard Mr. Wood comment, I certainly understand that cuts both ways. I hope the timing of this report today will allow us time to review the implementation plan in greater detail, and I'm sure from what I've heard from you that the budget process will do that, but we have to get started on that. Now on to my own remarks. I live in an area where city tree restrictions were imposed with our 1970s era PUD. I mean, early 1970 years PUD. And our HOA has administered that system with a basic cut one, replace one policy since then. And I can tell you, Commissioner Novick, that it does not mean that we've removed larger trees, and I know that's going to offend some of my colleagues back here from Sweeney, but I will tell you that we still plant flowers, we still grow trees, we've replaced every tree with something maybe more appropriate to the size, and that's one of the important things I want to stress to you about this tree policy, and I think it's important reason why we want to implement this tree policy, because quite frankly, with what was done imprecisely in the 70s, I've spent more than 10% of the purchase price of my property in getting trees out that don't fit didn't fit under the code as we would implement it. I've had to remove big trees within 5 to 6 feet of my home, and those are trees that we've all decided will be removed almost of right under this new code. And the other thing I think this new code will do is prevent that from happening in the future, because as we bring experienced people on to make decisions about development, they will be able to say, not so many trees, let's put them in the right place, let's do it right and get some tree infrastructure that will survive and be a benefit to people and not be a cost to people. So I'm in favor of getting this program going. I know it's costly, but I mean, I've paid for the cost of a bad program for the last 20 years where I've lived, and if we don't get it fixed, there's still going to be that problem.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, I'll take them. If not, I'm going to head to PURB.
Thank you for staying, and thank you for your service on PURB.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, our Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm a resident of East Portland. We are on the side of town where the trees are going. And one of the things that I want to ask Council to consider is that we have many development patterns that happen where the trees are cut, and then they go, oh, there were no trees on the lot. So inspection and enforcement is critical for us, and that the budget maybe have to be tweaked in terms of the recommendation, but I want to urge you strongly that we do need inspectors and we do need an enforcement mechanism. Otherwise, we continue to lose our tree canopy, and as someone else pointed out, the $5 billion investment is going to rest on a 15-foot decorative tree as opposed to a 200-foot noble fir or anything like that. Becomes really critical. We don't have an urban canopy, and we're not building them on street trees. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Brian Birch, and I would like to point out that the opportunity here we have is not just a regulatory opportunity, but it's an educational opportunity. As a member of the Education and Outreach Committee on the Urban Forestry Commission, our goals are to reach mostly children at a young age and to educate them about the value of the trees that we plant with them on their schools and on street trees. And I think that it's important for the commission as a group to accept not just the regulation, you know, the aspects of this proposal, but to think way ahead at the educational opportunities that we will be implementing by bringing students into the reasons, all the reasons that have been outlined here in council, about why trees are and why we put them where we do and how we do it. So I would just like to emphasize that as an educational opportunity to our youth, making this investment not just for this year or next year, but for 30, 40, 50 years from now is crucial. I also want to take a crack at your question, Mayor, why can't the other inspectors make these kinds of inspections? And I think very simply, it's for the same reason that I don't think I'd have my accountant cut my hair. I think trees are not like pipes. They are assets, but they're not that they grow. They are an art form unto themselves. And so I think having these inspectors specifically for trees is an imperative as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Next three are Jeff Fish, C. Masiochi, and Barbara Quinn.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jeff Fish, 1834 Southwest 58th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. I'm a builder, have been for 40 years in the city of Portland. I sat on the Tree Stakeholders Committee. I'm also vice chair of DRAC. And speaking of DRAC, we had a preliminary report a month ago today regarding this issue from staff, and DRAC met today, but we did not talk about this issue, and DRAC hasn't taken any official stance on this issue. For the most part, am interested to see this go through. I was out of town when it went to council 2 years ago. I believe it was 2 years ago. And I believe in most of the budget items. I do believe that there are some opportunities maybe to save a little bit of money. I am one of those that believe, as a couple of people spoke here about, the multi-hat inspector. I did talk prior to this meeting to Jen Cairo, saying that her concern is that most of the time the trees by BDS inspectors don't get counted. I can tell you in November mine got counted because we missed one, had to go back, put one in to get final. I think for me, as far as just having to put five trees in or four trees or something like that, I think that could be inspected by BDS inspector. When we do an inspection, we have codes we have to call in, whether it's framing, plumbing, or whatever. I think that when the inspection process is done on the plans, you can go ahead and code which one has to be done. If it's a simple inspection, the building inspector can do to go out there and count five, four trees, he can do that. If it requires some sort of mitigation because you've done a land division, you've done environmental touch on environmental property, then maybe it code it differently so it has to have inspector come out from urban forestry. We're talking about canopy, and yes, we want canopy, but we also have to realize in this city we are densifying daily, and we're one of the densest cities of our size in the nation. And so you can't save every tree. You can't have your cake and eat it too when you're trying to densify and put more buildings on properties. So And we get compared quite a bit, our canopy against other cities. Well, we get compared against Austin and Atlanta and places like that where they're building on 10,000 square foot lots. Last year we built on a 1,600 square foot lot. There's a big difference of what kind of trees you can save. Also, be advised that the public has different perceptions. We finished a project in May, a house with an ADU, in which we saved a 4-foot diameter oak tree. We had to set the house fairly close to the oak tree. We sold the house. The home inspector, not the building inspector, the home inspector cited us for the house close to the tree. Long story short, I had to write a tree warranty to keep the tree for the buyer. The realtor was concerned for her young client that tree is going to fall down. I basically wrote a tree warranty saying that we would take the tree down in a year if it died. So there's other aspects that we as developers have to deal with out there, even if we do try to save a tree. Let me take a couple quick looks. I think that's, for the most part, the issues that I wanted to bring up. I think in the long run, we may have to look at this, as Justin said, and tweak some things to make it work for both sides. I think overall, the stakeholder group felt it came out fairly good for both sides of the table, if you want to say the people that want to really save every tree versus those in the development community that know what we can save and what we can't save. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I apologize. I didn't call you early. I couldn't see you behind the other folks there. So as a member of the Development Review Advisory Committee and also of the Stakeholder Committee, thank you very much for your work on this project.
Please. Go ahead.
Mayor and Council, thank you so much. You guys have had a long day, so I'll be brief. Christopher Mashaki, I'm a resident of Hazelwood. I want to thank the people who put these codes together, because not only was it a tremendous amount of work, but it represents the kind of thinking that actually drew me to Portland in the first place. I moved here because this is the most sustainable place in the United States, and to me, one of the most beautiful. And the beauty of this place is largely tied to the canopy that we have. And I would say that there's a real value. It might be hard to quantify, but as a part of Portland's identity, this canopy is extremely valuable. I live in Hazelwood. I bought a little house in 2006 in an area, it's about 6 or 10 blocks square, that is essentially a Doug fir forest. These are 100-foot tall trees. My neighbors tell me that when they bought their house 20 years ago, it looked like brightwood. I love this place so much, but in the 6 years that I've lived there, I've watched at least a dozen enormous Doug firs just cut down. This is all on residential property where these codes will make a huge difference. And in East Portland, you know, we're a place of potential that's still waiting to happen. We have the least amount of developed parks. We have the most school children. And that canopy is a huge part of our identity, specifically in that area. And so it's very, very important to us. So that's the main thing. I just wanted to share that. And, you know, hopefully these will be implemented, because I think there's a real urgency to do so.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Barbara Quinn. I'm a St. John's neighborhood activist and the chair of Friends of Baltimore Woods. Thank you, Amanda Fritz, for taking the lead and showing courage and leadership on this project. I appreciate it. It's good to see this go through. Finally, the update started as a grassroots movement among Portland residents, and because we have, as a community, value trees. And I think that we value them as habitat, as aesthetic amenities, as he mentioned, and also as signs of a healthy urban ecosystem. Many residents appreciate the fact that large trees take hundreds of years to mature, especially things like native oaks, and recognize that that's a value that we want to protect. The new code does not prohibit landowners from removing trees. It just simply requires that they mitigate by planting something else. So I think that's a good compromise and acknowledges the wider community valuing of trees that is healthy and truly grassroots Portland. As Commissioner Fish said, we can't do whatever we want on our private property. If we do things that affect the air quality, if we do things that affect the groundwater, that's a wider community value that we need to protect. And so if we recognize trees as something beyond just a particular landscape part of someone's particular yard, which I think we do here, I think the community, as wider community does, I think that we should try to protect them better. And in answer to the Oregonian editorial, I'd just like to say that I'm proud to live in a city that has long-range vision and that has is courageous enough to see that a healthy urban forest is a good thing. And so I'm proud to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else? Anyone else wants to testify? Okay. Thank you all very much. We have a motion, I think, in order to accept the report.
So moved.
Second. And so if everybody could please put your questions on the record, and we'll make sure that we get them answered before the next discussion.
Would you extend the, for those, in case we have questions that go beyond the record today,
Oh, of course. Yeah, this is the beginning of a discussion about what's next. But it would be helpful. And for those who have been here and stayed, thank you very much. So if you could put your records as part of your comments, your questions as part of your comments, that would be helpful.
Novick?
Well, I think that, the elephant in the room is the cost. And we learned yesterday that we're going to have, the projection is, about $5.9 million more in ongoing money this next year and $3.3 million in one-time money beyond what we had last year, factoring in increased costs. And that means that, however you slice it, $781,000 is going to be a significant chunk of either those amounts or those amounts combined. And I know that I've got concerns about funding a West Side disaster recovery operational site. Sorry, it's the end of a long day. I'm like confused about my own projects. and I know Commissioner Saltzman has concerns about long-term funding for the Fire Bureau. And as Commissioner Fish was saying to me the other day, we could spend that $8 million or $9 million six ways to Sunday pretty quickly. I think that we've all got a long road to hoe in terms of coming together with a budget to fund this or any of a number of other priorities. But I really appreciate that this is not an issue that I was involved in before. I really appreciate the clear presentation and all the work that people have put into it. And I'm pleased to accept the report. Aye.
Fritz?
Again, thank you to staff, and thank you to everybody who has turned out the week before Christmas to support this process, and indeed, whether pro or con, I heard overwhelming support for the underlying policy, and that I'm glad that 2 years later we're all looking at it and thinking, yes, this might work. And we didn't come up with anything so far of things that we need to change. Obviously, we will bring back changes as we move into implementation, assuming that the council chooses to implement. In retrospect, I wish that Commissioner Fish and I had put this into our list of things that should have gotten ongoing funded when we did our budget note, with the money from housing, for housing that went into this year's budget calculations. I put in $450,000 for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's graffiti removal and mediation programs, which had been one-time funded and which we ongoing funded in this year's budget. I think that this project is equally significant, in fact, more so than those two pieces of urban living, which I think are also very important. The Parks Budget Committee has considered this item and recommends, and you've got it, I think, in the record, recommends funding for the package as a multi-bureau effort. It's not just parks. It's not just development services. It affects transportation. It affects environmental services and water. So this is us. This is who we are, and this represents multiple commissioners working on this project since 2005. In fact, three mayors since 2005. So we've worked together to come to a proposal, which certainly we'll be looking at the budget and what we can do about it. The devil doesn't need advocates, and I'm asking you to be on the side of the angels or perhaps the side of the Lorax, because I think we already regulate trees on private property in environmental zones, and we prohibit cutting of trees in protection zones, which are in private property. We reduce cutting in conservation zones. This project, to me, takes it one step further, recognizing that every tree inside the city of Portland affects our airshed, affects our watershed, affects the quality of life. And as we heard from the residents of Hazelwood in East Portland, it affects the character of the neighborhood and it affects property values. Your neighbor's tree may affect your property value, and that's important. We have a climate action plan that we adopted unanimously and which we've shown extraordinary gains in our air quality compared with other jurisdictions nationwide, and which we need to continue to pursue. The concept of getting to the urban forestry canopy target in 160 years is not acceptable, because if we don't do this project, we're not going to get there anyway. So I think that that's very important to note. We have the current code doesn't work, and it creates problems. It's more costly for developers and others than this proposal in many instances. This code brings together eight different titles and will make it work. And yes, there is that sticker shock. I think it's worth investing on. It's one of the things that we all as Portlanders, whether you're far right or far left, we care about trees and we care about the quality of the air that we breathe. So again, thank you to all of the staff, especially Mika, Jen, and Roberta for testifying today. Patty Howard on my staff has done extraordinary work, the directors, and my colleagues on the council. Commissioner Fish carried this project before me. Commissioner Saltzman has been integral to it. This is about all of us, and it's important that we continue to make it about all of us. Aye.
Fish.
This is our last council meeting in 2013, so I want to begin by wishing my colleagues and members of the public here a healthy, happy, and joyful holiday season. And we will not be reconvening until January 2nd. And Charlie, welcome. Congratulations on your first year in the council. Any regrets?
No.
And to Commissioner Fritz and your comment about the budget note, I appreciate that, because I think maybe we both underestimated the power of a budget note, because some very important council priorities were funded, and even though they created a structural deficit, we made the other tough choices to honor those, and so I think we learned about the power of a budget note. We've been at this tree code thing for quite some time, and I go back to 2011 and was proud to be part of a council that unanimously voted to adopt a comprehensive new tree code, which at the time was enthusiastically supported by a wide and frankly somewhat unconventional range of stakeholders, from neighborhoods and environmental advocates and even home builders, which I think is a testament to how much time went into crafting it and the reasonable balance that was achieved. Since then, due to budget constraints, we've had to delay implementation a couple of times, and last year, faced with another resolution to delay implementation, the council asked that this report be presented and to give us a proposal for staffing and funding. And today we have it, and thank you to the staff and to the folks who worked so hard to bring this forward. I appreciate your good work in preparing this report and your good faith effort in estimating the workload that will be that will result from implementing the new code. As a former Parks Commissioner and now proudly as Commissioner in charge of Bureaus of Environmental Services and Water, I've become well-educated on many of the benefits of trees for our bureaus, for our neighborhoods, and, yes, for our planet. And trees make Portland a special place and deserve our full attention. Or to quote Mike Houck, and after all, he has stuck it out for the entire afternoon, trees provide a terrific return on investment. We've heard testimony from ardent advocates who have guided and supported the Tree Code project from its very start in the Southwest Hills through to today. And many of them are urging us to finally put our money where our mouths are and just do it. Two very special advocates who've been mentioned, Margot Barnett and Bonnie McKnight, who could not come here today in person but did send letters of testimony, have suggested that we could launch implementation with potentially a lower level of funding than is recommended today. Regardless of how we come out on this, Margot and Bonnie reminded me that the original proposal brought forward in 2011, with the blessing of both Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Forestry Commission, did in fact recommend a more modest budget. The proposal before us today would support a higher level of service with more inspectors and more staffing for customer service, which are very good things. I support moving forward with implementation expeditiously on the new tree code, but like all my colleagues, I want to pause to consider this funding proposal within the larger context of our budget and the trade-offs that we'll have to make this spring. And we will learn this spring, after 5 years, whether it's harder to craft a budget based on cuts or spreading around new investments. I think I know the answer to it, but we'll find out. So with that in mind, I want to thank everyone who's worked so hard to bring this report forward. Thank you for your good work. I vote aye to accept the report and look forward to the debate to follow. And I also add my voice of thanks to Hannah Kuhn, who's been sort of the steady person in this debate, who keeps us focused and has been provided enormous support to me in her capacity, both as a staff member and now as my chief of staff. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for this great report. So I want to thank the three principal bureaus involved, Parks, Bureau of Development Services, and Bureau of Environmental Services, and for the good staff work. I think it's really it's heartwarming to just see the cross-section of support once again restated for a comprehensive tree code in the city of Portland, something that was recognized in 2011 and adopted by the city council, and now we're just moving forward with some of the steps of the important implementation of a comprehensive tree code. And I do think that we'll have to scrub the numbers throughout the budget process, but overall I think there's been a lot of thought by the Planning and Sustainability Commission, Urban Forestry Commission, and the bureaus about what it truly costs to implement this code effectively. So I think these numbers look good, but they have to withstand sort of all the other competing priorities with the council. But one way or another, there will be de minimis staffing enough to get this code up and running fully as it needs to be. So I'm strongly supportive of implementing this code and making sure it's got the requisite amount of oomph behind it to make it happen. Aye.
Hales?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and all the members of this council that have worked on this project, as well as staff and the community. I obviously share the goals that we have about improving the canopy and keeping Portland green and sustainable. But I will, of course, exercise my prerogative in producing a mayor's proposed budget of holding every bureau's feet to the fire about exactly how much we have to spend to accomplish each of these and other goals. I am a little worried about sticker shock. There was an old traffic safety commercial series that always had the tagline, Joe was right, dead right. And I don't want us to be dead right with our larger community outside of the circle in this room that all share this agenda when we implement this code. So the cost to the citizen and the ease of application of the code is very important. Think about historic preservation. We all share the goal. We found out that there's a sticker shock point in which a lot of our fellow citizens who share that goal bail out and say, never mind, I don't want to be in a historic district because it costs too much to participate. And Commissioner Saltzman, you came up, and along with the Bureau of Development Services, with a good solution to that problem. So cost matters. And, of course, available dollars matter as well. So we're going to continue to sweat the details and ask these questions about exactly how much will it cost to do this right, even while we're all committed to doing it. Finally, just want to say, as we close out this good hearing, thank you all for sticking with us and doing this work together this afternoon, that this council's done a great deal of good work in this room over the course of the year in which Commissioner Novick and I have joined you to do this work together. We've made major reforms in how we police the city. We did address the worst budget in memory and maybe in history. We have built new parks and new streets and new partnerships and grown the economy of this city. A great deal of good work in this room this year, and I want to thank you all as colleagues and partners in that work and to all in the community who've made it possible. It's been a good year. Next year bodes to be a better one. It might be more difficult to deal with the problems of a rising budget and a stronger Portland, but I'll take them. I'll take them as opposed to what the other choices are. So thank you for a great year. Happy holidays to you all. And because of where Christmas falls in the calendar and where New Year's falls in the calendar, we are indeed adjourned until January 2nd. Thank you.